WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are into the bye week, and it certainly did not go as we expected it to go on Sunday. All of our WNST Wise Conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. We're going to have plenty of time to get ready for Halloween. It was sort of a ghastly, ghoulish Sunday for the Baltimore Ravens as the Cincinnati Bengals came in. You know, I don't know what it is. We always think of the Steelers as being the big bad guys of the division and, you know, Pittsburgh week and all that. And then I find out, like, in Cincinnati, they call it Ravens week. Like, they take the Ravens really seriously in Cincinnati. They think we're the boogeyman. We're the bad guys. And meanwhile, the Browns are just like the Browns. We never take them seriously. I don't know what got into us, Luke, to think that we were going to be cocky enough to just, you know, roll the division and the Bengals are just going to be the Bungles and all of that. But Sunday was an awakening for both franchises, I believe. That was a very, very weird afternoon of football on Sunday, Luke.
It really was. I think first and foremost, and we'll get into all the Ravens issues, and there are plenty, and I think it's important to remember this is one of 17 data points over the course of a season. We talk about that every week. We talk about the week-to-week nature of this league. But before we get into what went wrong for the Ravens, I think Sunday provided some validation for the fact that the Cincinnati Bengals are pretty good, and they're, regardless of what they look like at the end of the season, they are much better than they've been the last couple of years, as we were kind of seeing this transition from the end of the Marvin Lewis era to Zach Taylor and Andy Dalton to Joe Burrow. They're much improved, and they kicked the Ravens' butts on Sunday. There's no way to sugarcoat it. As I tweeted out in the latter minutes of the fourth quarter on Sunday, it felt a lot like that Browns game did 2 years ago when Cleveland came into Baltimore, and that game was a little bit closer in later. And then it was just the Browns running away with it in the last 10, 11 minutes of the game. But I think you have to give them a lot of credit. And what's interesting, and I picked the Ravens to win by 10, so I'm not going to sit here and say I had the conviction for it, but I will say this: over the course of the week from, say, Monday, as we were, you know, giving the Ravens their flowers for the win over the Chargers, you start to look at Cincinnati. First of all, you saw that they matched their win total from a year ago, so you knew right off the bat, okay, soft schedule or not, they're better. But you looked at them more and more, and as much as the focus was on Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and look, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase had 200 receiving yards, made Marlon Humphrey look terrible. What really stood out to me was how much better their defense was playing. And it's not as though they went through this unbelievable transformation. I mean, they brought in three or four new starters, you know, new players. So it was revamped, but it wasn't like they gave out these monster free agent contracts where, you know, these stud former Pro Bowl players are coming in and completely changing the identity.
And they're all guys you've heard of just in another jersey. You're like, oh, he was with Cleveland and he was with the Giants. And like, you start to look through them. The Bengals were always like, oh, Marvin drafted that guy from USC or whatever. It was always internal guys with the Bengals because they never spend any money.
right. But I mean, certainly some new names, but again, not necessarily that you thought, okay, we've seen what that Bengals defense has looked like. As I said to you late last week, when we did a little preview of this game, I said that defense the last couple of years had kind of been the rotting corpse of the Marvin Lewis era. I mean, Geno Atkins, not what he used to be. Carlos Dunlap, not what he used to be. Other guys moving on, other guys past their prime, guys that, you know, weren't that great to begin with and really bad. So,
by the way, this version of the Bengals, they don't need DeMata Pekka right now. They're okay without him. Just so you know.
Sure. No question about it. But, you know, we all think back to week 17 last year and the Ravens running for 400 yards and no one was expecting that. I think that's clear. And we'll get into the running game because as I said last week, I wasn't convinced that the running game was fixed. I think it was much more a case of the Chargers run defense is really lousy, and I didn't want to be dismissive, but
dude, we're going to be all over the place here, right? Like, they sucked in every phase of the game. So when we start talking about the team, we're going to jump from, well, the offensive line stunk. Well, the defensive line stunk. Well, Marlon Humphrey stunk. Well, they all sunk. I mean, it was bad all the way around. And if you're going to focus someplace, start with the quarterback on the other side for sure. Right? Like, they're pretty good. And I think that might be the best place to start with all of this is that, that's an improved team over there. And beware a 1-1 overall when he comes into the league and figures it out with the same guy he was doing it with at LSU.
No question. And we've also talked about that second year narrative. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes, second year league MVP, winning the Super Bowl the year after that. Lamar Jackson, second year league MVP, Ravens 14-2. I think a lot of people thought the Ravens could, maybe would be a playoff team in 2019. No one thought they'd be 14-2. And I'm not saying the Bengals are going to go on and win 13 games, but at the same time, you see a quarterback that is playing at a high level. And I thought what was interesting about Sunday's game, and this is what's disappointing for the Ravens, but they got a ton of heat on Joe Burrow early in the game. I mean, even the passes they were completing in the first, let's say the first 21 minutes of that game, you know, about midway through the second quarter when Uzama scores the touchdown. I mean, that was the big swing in terms of the Ravens defense, not stopping them at all. But you know, they got a lot of heat on him early on. I mean, Justin Houston was in the backfield every other play putting heat
and
on
he
him.
And he wasn't afraid, by the way, either, right? I mean, he stood in there.
Right. But they cleaned some things up, and they seemed to figure out some of the line games and the blitzes and the different things the Ravens were doing. And you know, that pressure went away. And Joe Burrow made throws. Now, I'll say a lot of those throws ended up being yards after the catch, and we'll get into the tackling and how often have you and I talked about the I mean, everyone's been talking about the tackling. John Harbaugh's been talking about it. The players have wanted to practice in pads at various times over the last month to try to remedy that. And all those tackling issues that seemed to go away against the Chargers in what was a dominant defensive performance, they all resurface. So you do have to give a lot of credit to the Bengals, though. I mean, they played a heck of a football game. They talked a little bit coming into this one. They kind of had, you know, they had some swagger. You could tell they were feeling themselves a little bit with a 4-2 start going into week 7 and knowing they had an opportunity to, you know, certainly play the Ravens tough. Well, they did way more than that, and they kicked the Ravens' asses on Sunday. So what does that mean moving forward? We'll see. We say it all the time. You're never as great as you are in your absolute best performance of the season, and I suspect that will be Cincinnati's best performance of the season. And you're never as terrible as you are in your worst performance. And I suspect this will be the Ravens' worst game of the year. So it really is a case of you got to go back to the drawing board, and you got the bye week, and you're going to be thinking about that. And they're going to put in some work this week before they get a well-deserved respite. But I think for the Ravens, fully acknowledging the game that the Bengals played on Sunday, a lot of the issues that we were talking about, even as they were winning these football games, you know, keep in mind, I mean, the Chargers game was really the anomaly. I mean, okay, they beat the Broncos by a couple scores. The Broncos stink. I think that's, you know, that's come to light since their 3-0 start. But as it's been, you know, week one, week two, you know, Detroit, Indianapolis, certainly, these have been nail biters, and these have been imperfect performances. But in those games, the difference ultimately, in most cases, if not all of those games, the difference was Lamar Jackson. Well, on Sunday, the difference ended up being, maybe you can point to what the Ravens didn't do, but what Joe Burrow in that passing game ultimately was able to do. And while I wouldn't say Lamar Jackson was terrible on Sunday by any means, certainly wasn't his best performance. I think that's obvious. Didn't see the same kind of accuracy. You know, he was under pressure, although I would say some other times held the ball way too long. I mean, you can't sit back there and counting to 4 or 5 Mississippi and expect the pass rush they're going to be able to hold that off. So, you know, a lot of things to fix, but ultimately the Bengals were the better team and the better team by a wide margin. And you know, John Harbaugh didn't have a whole lot to say in his post-game press conference, as you can predict. You know, not a big shock there, but they were beaten thoroughly. They were beaten soundly. That was John Harbaugh's comment. And now the question is moving past this and trying to address some of these issues in the best way they can. Trade deadline's coming up here over the next week or so. So we'll see what happens on that front. We know they don't have a lot of cap space, so they'll have to get creative. But a lot of that improvement that they need to have in certain areas, it's going to have to come from within. And I think the Ravens understand that. And this is where you lean on your veteran leadership. This is when you lean on your accomplished 14th year head coach who has won a Super Bowl and has done a lot of winning around here. You're leaning on your veterans for you know, the young guys not to get down too much, and the same way you didn't want them to be up too much this past week, and try to make some improvements, because what we saw on Sunday clearly was not nearly good enough.
Timing really tough on this, right? You know, with the extra week and the downtime, not that you feel bad about 5-2, because you know, when the schedule comes out, you probably had them 5-2 would have sounded luxurious when the schedule came out, right? And you would have said, well, they lost to the Chiefs for sure. What would the other loss have been? And then you look up and you see, well, it was Vegas and it's the Bengals now, and these are conference losses, a division loss now, 0-1 in the division. I guess that it came in such stunning fashion, right? Like, I think the high is so high from where you think they are in winning games by kicking 66-yard field goals and going to overtime and, like, all of the things that they've needed to do. You sort of get lulled into, oh, well, we think we're pretty good because the Chargers didn't wake up last week and they came in here. This will certainly bring them back to earth a little bit to not be thinking Minnesota's going to be, you know, a rollover next week, or they're going down to Miami is going to be easy, or going out to Chicago is going to be easy later in the month. They'll need these 2 weeks. And to your point, they're not good enough right now. That was apparent out on the field Sunday.
Yeah. And I mean, let's just use that exercise that I was just mentioning a few moments ago. Let's throw out the Chargers game. Best win of the season, looked unbelievable. How much of that was about the Chargers, West Coast playing on, you know, West Coast team playing at 1 p.m. on the East Coast? We know that whole narrative. And let's throw out Sunday. Let's just look at the, you know, the first five games. Many of the issues we were going to be talking about from stemming from Sunday's game are not new issues. They've had tackling issues throughout the year. Offensive line has been a concern, except now, you know, Ronnie Stanley's not walking through that door until 2022. So how can they get better play from their line? How can they figure out some semblance of a running game other than Lamar Jackson taking off? And again, saw him take a lot of hits on Sunday. That's another theme that's concerning for me. But they need it because no one else is running the ball. And I don't think it's all about the running backs. I don't think it's all about the offensive line. I think it's those two areas in concert haven't been good enough. And it just...
Well, it hasn't been the same group either. I mean, these running backs came here 5 weeks ago. Like, sure, they didn't even know who these guys were September 1st. So,
yeah, no question.
And the fact that they got the 5-1 and can run around a little bit, and they haven't fumbled it a whole lot. They haven't had those handoff issues. But in this game, they would have loved to have had those. They everything was an issue on Sunday. Nothing worked.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right about the ball security, but they're not getting enough from these guys. I mean, Le'Veon Bell has no juice. He can't run. I'm not seeing a guy that has any explosiveness whatsoever. Devontae Freeman looked pretty good last week. Not much going on Sunday. Tyson Williams, I think, does have a little more explosiveness, and he's young, but we saw in the second half of that game, you know, they're audibling and trying to, you know, get a fourth down play in, and you could see he didn't know what was going on. And, you know, the fourth down play where Lamar checks down to him, he just runs out of bounds. I mean, I think you're seeing a guy that was an undrafted free agent a year ago on the practice squad, and now they're trying to get him to play meaningful football. It's not always going to happen like it did with Gus Edwards 3 years ago, where he came in as a rookie free agent and you know, kind of lit the AFC North on fire unexpectedly. But I don't know what the answer is from that group. I'm seeing a group at running back. We've talked about this with Murray, you know, who of course didn't play on Sunday, has the ankle injury. I'd put Freeman into this category. If you block for 4 yards, they're going to get 4 yards. If you block for 6 yards, they're going to get 6 yards. You're not getting the plus plays that J.K. Dobbins would get you. They're not getting the plus plays and the broken tackles that Gus Edwards gets you on a regular basis. Certainly not what Mark Ingram gave you 2 years ago. So,
and you're also not getting the holes you were getting 2 years ago.
Correct.
When Ronnie Stanley, Orlando Brown, and Marshall Yanda were running around too. Those guys are gone.
No question about it. And that even, you know, that lends itself talking, you know, when you mentioned the offensive line, the pass protection. I mean, 2 years ago, Lamar Jackson could stand back there for 4 seconds and let it develop. And this isn't even a Lamar thing. This is just how the timing of a passing game works in general. You need all of that to work. 2 years ago, he could stand back there because you had a Hall of Famer at right guard and you had a left tackle who had an all-pro phenomenal 2019 season. And as you mentioned, you had Orlando Brown at right tackle. Keep in mind, on Sunday, they lost Patrick McCary. We've talked a lot about how well he's played. I would say Tyree Phillips coming in and spelling him. And Phillips is coming off of an injury himself not that long ago. There's drop-off there. So, you know, and a lot of this is just going to have to be internal. And that's not to say that they can't do it. But, you know, I'm not sure that perfect answer, that solution is going to be out there for Eric DaCosta to acquire with giving up a couple draft picks. Not saying that the Ravens won't attempt it, not saying it's impossible, but they're going to have to get some of these guys playing at a higher level because, you know, we've talked about it. You know, this running game, as much as you just look at the final numbers and you say, all right, well, they ran for 115 yards, 4.8 yards per carry. It's all Lamar Jackson. And it's been that way far too much this year. And look, Lamar, I am never going to say Lamar shouldn't run. You know, I think
he got hit more on Sunday than in any other game in recent memory, for sure.
Well, I agree with you. I would say in general this year, he's taken more hits than he was in previous years. But like I said, you need to get some kind of production out of your running game, and you're just not getting it. And that's why last week, as much as it was nice to see, and you know, it was a nice story seeing the three running backs all score touchdowns, I just wasn't convinced that was any kind of breakthrough. I thought it was much more, has anyone seen the Chargers run defense numbers? I mean, I think the Ravens out of the six opponents that had faced the Chargers the first 6 weeks, I think the Ravens were only third in rushing yards of those six. I think they were only fourth in yards per carry of those six. So that tells you everyone's been doing that against the Chargers. So, you know, it's not a panic because it's honestly, we've been seeing that. And as much as, you know, you get a glimpse here or there, you know, Tyson Williams had some nice runs the first couple of weeks. I mean, they ran all over the Chiefs, another team that can't stop the run to save their life. But it really is, you know, it's, you know, they had the pleasant diversion with the blowout win over the Chargers. But as I said, you're never as great as your best performance either. I think we saw that part of their offense revert to what we were seeing for the better part of 5 weeks. And, you know, it's a running game that's certainly not special, certainly not bordering on historic like it was, especially 2 years ago. And then, of course, the crazy finish to last year where it helped them make the playoffs when they were going to be on the outside looking in, you know, at Thanksgiving when COVID happened and, you know, you're wondering what's going to happen with the season. But it's a lot to put on your quarterback. And this is not a Lamar Jackson thing. This is anyone. It is a lot to put on your quarterback to expect him to play like he played in the second half of the Colts game, to expect that every week. You're just not going to get that every week. I mean, we're seeing it now. Patrick Mahomes, you know, he hasn't been quote figured out. You know, it's not about figuring someone out. It's really tough to play in this league, and success is a moving target, and everyone is trying to adjust against the opposition. So there are always going to be challenges. And what we're seeing with the Ravens is, as much as you love the breakthroughs in the passing game, and look, their wide receivers played well. I mean, Marquise Brown, I still don't know how he got that second foot in. That was a phenomenal catch to open the second half. But, you know, Rashad Bateman did good things. Mark Andrews did his thing. But you've got to get more out of your running game here. I mean, it's too much to ask Lamar Jackson to put the offense on his back every single week and to try to win that way. It's going to be tough. And when you go up against a tougher defense like Cincinnati, you saw what happened. So, you know, between that and, you know, on the flip side, not having that running game that can control tempo, keep the opposition off the field, keep your defense fresh for 60 minutes. I mean, we've talked about that complementary formula they've had going back to the end of 2018 and how much that's helped the defense. And that's not to excuse the defense. You know, their running game not being very good does not excuse the defense for tackling as poorly as they did on Sunday. It's not as though the time of possession was so far out of whack or anything crazy, but it does speak to they don't really have that complementary formula that worked so well for them over the previous two seasons. It's out of whack. Lamar's passing at a much higher rate, and you know their passing game is much, much better than it's been the last couple of years, and that's a credit to them. But that doesn't mean you want that to come at the expense of not having an efficient running game, and that's kind of where they find themselves right now. And then, like I said, when you have a defense that is just not tackling consistently, and then as the Bengals had the lead, and you knew in the fourth quarter I mean, the Ravens were in a bad spot at that point. Let's face it. You're down 10 points in the fourth quarter. You're not liking your chances. Indianapolis game aside, they knew the Bengals were going to run. And guess what happened? They couldn't stop them at that point. You know, we see, Joe Mixon scores from 21 and Samaje Perine scores from 46 yards. So, even though at that point, the outcome had mostly been decided, their defense at that point knows the opposition's going to run on them and they couldn't stop it. And to me, that's another sign that's a little concerning there. So, if you're noticing a theme here, they need to be better in the trenches on both sides of the ball. That's not it, but that's a huge part of what happened in Sunday's game. I mean, the pass rush really good early and then kind of just went away. Run defense, not very good late in the game when you needed some stops to try to give your offense some semblance of a chance. And their offensive line just wasn't good enough over the course of the game. I mean, they didn't run the ball and didn't protect very well. And the times they did protect well, Lamar Jackson saw some different things in coverage. Bengals played well, at times in the secondary and held the ball too long and you end up taking a sack. So it was very beyond just saying it was bad, because it was bad. We know that. It was very disjointed. And we've seen that. It's been choppy. Their earlier wins, I mean, how could you not describe the win over the Detroit Lions as choppy? I mean, you needed a 66-yard field goal to win it. How could you not describe the Indianapolis comeback victory as choppy, considering
you were losing by three touchdowns?
Yeah, and how poor, and even the defense wasn't even, they were relying on missed kicks to have a chance at the end of that one. It's not to be dismissive of that success, but it's to look at it. You can't just look at the end result. You have to look at process. And that's why the Ravens are so good. They look at process. And right now, through seven games in 2021, they're 5-2. And no reason to panic, to your point. I mean, 5-2, in May, I would have expected that. Let's be very clear. In late August, early September, I don't know. I mean, not that I thought that this was a bear of an early schedule. I thought all along the schedule set up for them to get off to a fast start. But, it's been choppy. And they certainly have weaknesses in areas that they need to improve upon as they get onto the other half of the – and, not even talking about Minnesota, Miami, Chicago. It's after that where – Cleveland, at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, Green Bay, at Cincinnati, which looks way different now from a perception standpoint. And then home against the Rams and home against the Steelers. I mean, that's a bear of a finish to the schedule. So
those are all real football teams they're going to see beginning on Thanksgiving. They're playing a playoff team every week or like that.
Sure. We can debate Pittsburgh and what Roethlisberger looks like, but that defense is still good. And it's the Steelers.
But the Lions aren't coming back onto the schedule again.
Yeah. Well, and you needed the 66-yarder to beat them. So again, it just speaks to, as fun as last week was, and we all talked about how that felt 2019-like. I mean, many people wrote that. And hey, I'm not going to argue with that. That has been the exception, not the norm. This has been a much more, I don't want to say run of the norm, because I think they're a good football team. Let's be very clear about that. Nothing about Sunday changed my mind about them being a good football team. It's just, all right, what we saw against the Chargers, maybe that you chalk that up to a little more of crazy week-to-week league, West Coast team coming east. Maybe the Chargers weren't ready for prime time, and they're a young team, and we see how that works. But the Ravens came crashing back down to reality on Sunday, and as much as they were the team kicking the behind last Sunday, they were the victim of that on this week. And back to the drawing board and trying to figure out some of these issues that have been at least off and on a theme through the first half of the 2021 season.
When we continue, we will talk tackling. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him anywhere the Ravens travel these days, and probably taking a little downtime here this week as we get our Halloween stuff together. I want to remind everybody the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is back on the beat this week. I'm standing again. They put me back together again. I will be at Silver Spring Mining Company on Friday in White Marsh with my friend Gary Risling. We talk a little hockey amongst other things. We're going to have some guests out as well. It is all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We'll be telling you more about the Crab Cake Tour. We've moved some dates around. We're doing some things in Fells Point. We're doing some things with Knicks and Timonium now on the 12th of November. We've pushed some things around, and the mayor is actually going to join us on the 17th at Coco's. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We together try to do these wise conversations around here. We're going to talk tackling, talk a week down, talk about the Minnesota Vikings, talk about the league, and more ahead. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.